We have speakers here presenting today, Wojciech Sobieraj, our CEO, Wiktor Skrok, our CFO, and Nils Lundorf, currently taking a position of supervisory board member and also supporting IR. Please, gentlemen, start the presentation.
Wojciech Sobieraj. Welcome everyone on our quarterly results presentation. I will do. With summarizing our results achieved on the third quarter on page four. You will see what is, in our opinion, the most interesting facts coming from the third quarter. For the first time in earlier history, we achieved the normalized profit of above 100 million. Obviously, it was we closed the Porvita transaction finally, which had a negative minus 31 million effect. So the net profit is 69 million, which is 30% over the results of 2013. But year to date is 48% versus 2013. Good progress in net interest margin despite our refocus from large corporates to mid-size and small companies and household lending. When we are looking at the coefficient between net interest margin minus cost of risk, we actually improved this from 2.4 from 2.3 to 2.4%. We maintain the strict cost discipline. What we promised to achieve, the cost-income ratio below 50% by the end of this year, is achieved already now. Our cost growth is practically non-existent, it's flat. At the same time, we are hiring and we are expanding our sales force in Azure and Azure Expresses. There are more than 300 people being employed, of which only 15 people are in support functions at the headquarters. Obviously, the results of our cost-cutting effort that the first announced at the beginning of this year are already in this number, and the program of cost-cutting at the headquarters is finished, done, over, finalized. Last but not least, this is what is typical for us. We have we continue successful customer acquisition. We promised that we'll have more than 2 million clients by the end of 2016. And we're really happy to announce that we, last week, we passed 2.5 million clients in all our channels. And what is important, these clients are treating us more and more as the bank of first choice, and the percentage of them transferring the salaries to us grows every month. As far as T-Mobile cooperation is concerned, our partner here, they publicly call this cooperation spectacular. We are also very happy with the cooperation. Now T-Mobile is doing T-Mobile usługi bankowe is being offered to 350,000 clients, which means that there are more than 100,000 clients acquired after we start the cooperation on the 28th of May. So practically speaking, after the summer period, we see the results of September and October extremely encouraging, but it's just the beginning, and the first loan campaign we would start before Christmas, November and December. On the financial side, I think in our optimistic scenario, we said that the cooperation with T-Mobile will be neutral to our results even in 2000, 2014, and it will be neutral to our results in 2014. 2015, obviously, is going to be the first profitable year of cooperation. Third topic is acquisition of Meritum Bank. We've, after long, really long negotiations, we achieved the agreement. We signed a deal with the current owners of Meritum. Obviously, the results of the last general assembly were disappointing, but we strongly believe it is only the technical mistake in the process. That's why we as a management, we are very confident that the vote on the 2nd of December will be positive. We haven't stopped the process. The process is still. We supply our notion to KNF and WOKIK, and our notion to take over and then to merge is now being proceeded by all this by regulator. Last but not least, the stress test, the AQR result is done, it passed. Alior probably was the smallest bank that was reviewed thoroughly at the same of the same technique and same methodology as all 130 European banks. Not having the parent, it was a major effort for us and our staff to go through and supply the regulator with all the necessary data. We've done, we've passed, and we're very happy. On page five, I think it's a lot of numbers, but I would like to draw your attention only to two of them. Net profit. Net profit with and without Polvita. Net profit for the first time, excluding Polvita, is above 100 million. There are no signs whatsoever that the results of the fourth quarter will be lower than the third quarter results, kind of on a normalized basis without Polvita. So this 100 million is within our reach. Not even counting that the fourth quarter is usually the strongest in all own banking sector. So we are optimistic to achieve the results that we've promised to analysts and the markets at the beginning of the year. When you remember when we started the year without the interchange cuts, without the rate cuts, the analyst expectations were in the range of 315 to 350 million. And I think we had we couldn't guide you to the guidance for the year, but we solidly promised that if we find anything that is that might affect our results like vastly or below or above the market expectations, we would notify you immediately. I don't see any reasons now to guide differently from what was your expectations at the beginning of the year, not the 396 that is currently the consensus after the cuts. I'm referring to the 296. So not today's number, but the numbers at the beginning of the year. And the same, I think, it's a good practice to have the same kind of dialogue with the market in for the 2015. So when we know your expectations for 2015, we will reply to that. I don't see a lot of reasons for 2015 not to enjoy at least four times normalized results of the third quarter of this year, which is here. The loan growth is 24%. So when you see the net profit results, 30% growth, and 48% growth excluding Polvita, means that our policy is not based on just growth or the balance sheet, but stable cost and growth on all aspects of our revenue, lending, deposits, FX. the third quarter was very good because of the volatility on the zloty market, and for the first time, the first two quarters of the year were very flat and very stable. We see a lot of income coming from clients doing the transactions on Polish on zloty euro. These three numbers, 30% and 48% growth, compared with the 28% growth of the loan book, shows that we are actually delivering what we promised in on the previous presentation. And I would like to reassure you that our plans for 2000 for the fourth quarter are exactly the same as they were for the third quarter. So flat or slightly growth on the cost side, and strong two-digit growth on the revenue side. On page six, for some of you that are not familiar with the Meritum acquisition, what is Meritum? I think Meritum in three numbers is Meritum is one tenth of Alior in everything, in loan, deposits, client-based distribution network. Meritum is not the structure of Alior strategy in any aspects. They are exactly in the segments that we would like to build, that we would like to further develop. They have a strong customer finance focus. They have very effective loan distribution experience based on the GE team in this area, and they are very innovative in technology. I think technology and innovation was always a strong point of value, and we are proud of what we achieved, but when someone is better in some aspects than us, we are also humble enough to admit. And two aspects of technology in Meritum are much more developed than in Alior. One is linked with optical recognition and mobile transactions, and which after the successful acquisition will be used immediately in both Alior and Alior branches on Alior mobile services and T-Mobile. And the third and the second area of their expertise is in good scoring systems and engines for the decision making for personal lending.
With
immediate adjustments. We have our engines extremely good, and they are the price scenario is based on the risk profile of the client. They have risk-based pricing, as we do, and on the top of that, they have demand-driven pricing, which we don't. And I think that would allow us to be even faster and more agile versus the partners in consumer finance and personal lending. Acquisition price is agreed, is 360. Not a single line in what we agreed will be changed between now, between the last General Assembly and the one that is going to be held on the December 2nd. It's the same conditions, 360 million, of which partly 2.35 in shares and the rest in cash. This is, I think, these are the main points and topics for Alior for the first quarter, and then Niels will take you through the operational aspects of our activities.
Thank you very much. On page number 8, you will see that Alior has managed to maintain a very high NIM of 4.7%. We have taken action to raise fees to almost fully mitigate the impact of the rate cut that is reducing our margin on the liability side, and on the Lombard rate cut that is limiting the maximum interest rate we can charge on customer loans. On page number 9, you see the loan book development and deposits. We're very pleased with the strong retail loan growth, up almost 3 billion zloty year on year. And we have kept a very healthy loan-to-deposit ratio, around 100%, growing our deposit base without doing any significant deposit campaigns, expensive deposit campaigns. Page number 10. We are pleased with the credit risk development. The NPL growth is not worrying us, since we have not started sale of NPLs yet. The annual growth of retail NPL ratio is 2.9 percentage points per year, which is almost equivalent to the cost of risk for this customer segment. To give you a little bit more flavor of this NPL growth, we have put in a little bit more educative slide number 11. NPL is accumulation of several years of NPL production. The annual NPL growth, which we are simplifying here, quarter three versus quarter three last year, quarter two versus quarter two last year, etc., is between 2.3 and 2.8 percentage points. All that NPL growth is provisioned year by year in the cost of risk. But it's just accumulated here. Why are we not selling off then? Well, Alio is now about to celebrate its 6 years anniversary. We started out very carefully. You might recall, first we purchased the HSBC portfolio, then we built the systems, and then we started granting loans in year 2010. So now, roughly 4 years after we have started granting retail loans, we are seeing that our efforts on collection is reaching limits also. On the curve, you will see that after 3.5, 4 years, we do not get much more back from the bad customers we are collecting from. That means our retail portfolio starts maturing. When it starts maturing, we will start selling NPL. So soon we are going to see some NPL sales. This will help us not just reduce the accumulated NPL, but at a certain stage also stabilize it. Therefore, we are not worried about the NPL growth.
Thank you. Is slide 12, when it's fee and commission income, and we are pleased that we were able to improve the quarter results versus second results. And what is the most important, you remember our previous meetings when we discussed the interchange, by the action which we launched before, we were able to compensate, offset the full impact which is shown in the on the graph when we reduce almost 6.9 million zloty versus the previous quarters. Slide 13. Strong capital position with a capital adequacy ratio almost 14%, and as Wojtek mentioned, we passed IQR test and stress test. That was a very good result, and we did not expect that this base is sufficient for the future growth. Of course, I'm referring to the organic growth, not the growth which we wanted to achieve through the merger and acquisition transaction. Slide 14. We are getting market share, 0.2 percentage points quarter by quarter, if you look at the loan side, and we are growing 3-4 times faster in the retail customer segment. With the corporate, as we mentioned over the last meeting, we are slowing down a bit, however, we are still growing faster than the market. This is, brings us to the almost 2.7 market share. If you ask me about 4% target which we announced for the 2016, yes, we are on the good track to achieve this target. Next slide 15, shows that we are getting customer through all our distribution line. From regular branches to T-Mobile, we are getting more customer. We are number one in the acquiring customer quarter by quarter, and as Wojtek mentioned, we already achieved 2.5 million zlotys, 2.5 million
customer.
Next slide, slide 16. We are widening our distribution network. However, there is some reshuffling. The IX branches, three of them, we rebrand, and now they are becoming regular branches. And we are looking very carefully at the franchising outlets, and some of them we are
deciding to close down.
And we are still ahead of being in
T-Mobile outlets, but not in
all of 800, which
T-Mobile
has, but with a more than 100 definitely. And slide 17. If you look at the previous quarters, cost flat and very fast revenues growth brought us to the cost-income ratio below 50%. Last time when we met, we expected to achieve this ratio at the end of this year, but good revenues growth allowed us to record this ratio at the end of the third quarter.
Mm-hmm. Now, the last two slides, looking at the strategic initiatives and outlooks. Strategic initiatives on page 19 is obviously T-Mobile, the most important project that we are currently running. As I mentioned, new 100,000 clients already acquired since late May start. Witek mentioned earlier about our loan distribution capacity. We in 800, let me be very clear, in all of these 800 T-Mobile branches, there's a possibility to do the T-Mobile banking transactions. However, in 80 of those stores, we have the dedicated staff only for banking services, and we, together with our partner, with T-Mobile, we are installing additional 100 store-in-store tables, desks, positions, as I mentioned, 100% dedicated to financial services. We are rolling this 80 plus 100 right now. In the fourth quarter this year, in November, December, and in the first quarters of 2015. Actually, we are very happy with the fact that we launched this cooperation almost 1 year, 1 year earlier than our competition, that we were able to come to the market with our AliExpress mini branches sooner than anyone on the market. Now they are becoming profitable, and every month more and more AliExpress are becoming profitable. Every month the T-Mobile branches are becoming profitable to the extent that we are seriously considering expansion of this store-in-store concept throughout the entire T-Mobile network. But the moment of truth will come, and this moment of truth will be the loan. We care about the number of clients. We care about the transfers and the transactions that they are doing using the T-Mobile services. But the real moment to make real money on this cooperation will be the launch of the loan campaign and the acceptance ratio of loans. So. We are ready. We built already sufficiently enough database on the risk factors, database on the customers from T-Mobile side, and now closer to Christmas, late November, early December, we are launching the first campaign. At the same time, we are working on the new mobile applications. So again, we believe that we will start 2016 with the new mobile applications for private individuals and small companies. Again, that would allow us to be some half a year in front of our competition. On page 20, you'll see the progress of our strategic initiative number two, which is the consumer finance. Consumer finance exactly follows the path that we expected, which means the slow, stable growth of the monthly installment loans, 5% you see here, and at the same time strong growth of the cross-selling to the clients that already taken the first installment loans. We know what is coming to the market. We know about the strengths of Santander Consumer Finance, and we believe that if we successfully merge with Meritum, will be a humble number two player on this market in consumer finance, and that would be our goal and our strategic positioning to be important, not leader, but important number two player on consumer finance in the years to come. I think in the past we made a strategic mistake. We withdrew from car lending and car loans too early. Now when you see the results, the risk costs are lower than we expected. We should stick to the strategic initiatives stronger. We should be more patient in 2012 when we cancel this business line. We will not cancel now the business line of consumer finance. This is the money generating machine, and we will be there to stay. So to finalize on page 22, this is our slide for 2014 outlook. I must say that 2015 will not change much. So loan growth for 2014, we promise to be around 400 million monthly net production, which translates into 4.8 billion annual production. I think we'll end up with closer to 4.5, not 4.8. It's only because of our slight refocus from this large corporate lending. We would have had slightly lower cost of risk, and we would have had slightly lower net interest margin if we stay in this segment. For a number of reasons, volatility of the results, refinancing by large corporate segment, we would rather focus on mid and small companies with the selective large companies when we have the real relationship, for instance, on our FX platforms. Net interest margin will maintain at the 4.7 level, the same with cost of risk at 2.3. It's the same result as for the third quarter this year. No more pull betas, cost income obviously will be not only below 50%, but will be at the end of the year below the 49.8 that is currently recorded at the end of the third quarter. So I think thank you very much. This is the last slide from our side. We are open for questions. Thank you.
We have guided that there might be some 10-15 million net impact next year. This fourth quarter, the impact might be in the range of 10 million also, because it takes some time to have the actions actually take hold. The actions we have already implemented are making us very comfortable that we will be capable of mitigating up to this level and potentially even more. And that means if we have another rate cut of the Lombard as well, we will have a number of actions taken and already have learned how strong they will work and what to adjust further to do further mitigation. We do not believe that we will sit naked with the full impact hitting us.
So the calculation of the impact if we don't do anything was it was announced at minus 15 next year and minus 5 to 10 this year. I think that we've launched the campaigns to our existing customers at the mid-September, October, and for the new clients already at the beginning of September. The results of this calling, of the repackaging of the products to the clients, the results are already visible. And I think that what Niels was saying, we believe that the effect will be lower than what we calculated earlier, this minus 10 and minus 15. Obviously, what we are doing is the calling the clients that already perform, and we are not calling the non-performing clients, and we are offering them the same monthly total repayments. We are introducing new fees and commissions to the product and lowering our dependence on the Lombard rate. So all in all, we are positive until if the rate cuts are what is expected by the market. So basically what has happened, plus additional 25 base points this year. If it's going to be more than 25 base points this year, obviously the impact will be negative. 50 base point cut is translates into 15 million of our annual annual net profit.
Models they have used are very generic. We have rating models, scoring models, provisioning models, which are adapted to our processes. And as we are clearly documenting in all our presentations, we are much more successful in collections of retail loans than most other banks, not just in Poland, but in Europe. The reason why we are doing a 10 million adjustment in the fourth quarter is coming from the fact that in discussions with regulators saying there is a potential risk in the models, we cannot deny that. We have already done a number of portfolio provisions. We have allocated already some money under Pillar 2 for model risk. This identification based on a generic model is telling us, show something. The 10 million is not an academic calculation. It is an estimate that something could happen. We are not seeing very significant moves on a monthly basis. The models which we have a learning element. What have we done lately in terms of both quality of decision taking, quality of collection, and the discussions there are with regulators is how many periods of learnings do we need before we can state that this model is very strong. And that is the reason why we're saying let us allocate 10 million over the P&L for this and allocate 30 million over the Pillar 2 capital allocation.
I think both the management and the two auditors that looked at our models, we strongly believe that our models are right. But in case that the models are under the strict scenario of the regulator are better, we are provisioning this 30 through capital and 10 through P&L. Why others are not doing, I think it's the question to others.
Okay, do we have any further questions?
I just like to ask about your deposit policy, because if you look at page 14, for example, I think that you switched from retail deposits to company deposits. In the last 5 months, you thought that would have been used to market share in retail deposits and again in market share in the company.
As we reported at the last results presentation, we have deliberately scaled down on deposit campaigns in the anticipation of a rate cut. Sitting with long-term deposits and the rates are reduced, we would repeat the same, we cannot call it mistake, but effect as we saw from our deposit campaign in the fourth quarter 2012, where we had to sit out with the rate cuts and have significant negative margin on the liability side. What we have done here is doing very short-term liquidity management with corporate deposits, but not go out and do strong retail deposit campaigns. We have been capable of doing it, and we have much more potential of continuing doing this, so we're not afraid in terms of liquidity management. When we have seen a stabilization of retail deposits, we might go back and do some deposit campaigns. But there's another element of retail customers having significant liquid reserves, investing less in retail deposits, and moreover to share investments in the one or the other dimension. So our strategy for growing retail deposits is growing number of customers and deepening the relationship with these customers, and using corporate relationships, which we do favor very much, as a short-term liquidity management tool.
I think what happened in the third quarter is that our strategy versus large corporate and mid-sized companies started to work. In 2012 and 13, we invested a lot in our FX platforms for corporates. And you probably remember we built this the servers, we signed the deals with the 10 largest money makers in London, and we feel very comfortable that we are offering the large corporate clients probably the best FX transactions in Poland. But this was only part of our strategy. And we're offering the clients a package. If you treat us as your main cash pooling, main partner when you put your surplus amounts, your deposits, then we are giving you the better rate. If you don't, if you prefer to use other banks as the main partner and only our FX platform, then we charge you more for the FX, and we charge for, and then we book the trading results. So all these two combinations started to work in both dimensions. Some companies started to use us as a partner of choice, transferring a lot of the deposits to us, and enjoying very low margins on FX transactions. Some of them still prefer to be the partners of other banks and use us only as the FX platforms. The third quarter this year showed to us how linked we are in our profitability with the stability of the Polish versus euro. In the times of the turbulence, of the volatility of the market, we start to earn money from both deposits from corporates and from FX from corporates. If the złoty euro is flat and nothing is happening and the companies feel secure to not to hedge their positions on the market, we earn less. And this was part of the reasons why we have relatively lower than expected the results for the first and the second quarter in this particular line. Third quarter was good. I think fourth one is going to be okay. Not as good as third.
Maybe two questions on cost. First of all, growth was fairly large exposure in Poland. We have done some minor write-offs to this exposure made of NPL. My question would be, has anything changed to the situation?
One of these exposures will be completely, I think, wiped out from our NPLs even by the end of this year, because it's not major kind of confidential information that one of them is Bulbita, that is now part of the Pelion Group. So I think I have all the necessary numbers and coefficients to believe that even by the end of this year, this will be not only that our provisioning to this client is sufficient enough, but we can resolve some of the provisions. The other one is linked with a production company from the southern Poland. And this production company from the south of Poland is provisioned enough in our books, we believe, but also, to the best of our knowledge, there is a chance that the company will successfully refinance their position by the end of this year. But all in all, we believe that no further provision for these two clients will be needed.
Difficult to say exactly, because we are negotiating right now a sale of a portfolio. As I mentioned, we have some portfolios that have matured enough that we can go out and sell. If we are continuing just accumulating, it will go above the market, but we do see now potential to have cleanup. Just like other banks that have many more years of credit history behind them, and on a regular basis is either writing off or selling off. So we are getting to that level right now. So the challenge for us is that we are better at collecting than others. So we keep them a little bit longer than the other ones. But it's not something we're worrying about, as I said. Repeat, please.
I have a question on targets for volumes for over the year. From the slide for the
this 4.5 billion is based on the assumption that we will not achieve this growth by major lift in the structure of corporate lending. So I think that's why we are lowering from 4.8 to 4.5, reflecting the structure that is more similar to what we achieved in the second and the third quarter versus what you've seen in our loan book in the previous year. So I think that corporate loan production in Alior could be expected at 1.8 to 2.3, but not at 2.6 billion as it used to be in the previous quarters.
Perhaps just one addition to that. If you look at that page 35, which you're mentioning, you see that retail loans in the fourth quarter is very strong. And we are preparing ourselves very well for having a very good fourth quarter, both on SME lending, as Wojciech mentioned, we'll continue putting focus there, but also on the retail side. Correct. That's correct. Yes. Not sell, but have net growth.
Yes.
Yes. Correct.
And the other question is a follow-up on the discussion on deposits. What is the average duration of your corporate deposits?
1 month.
Corporate term.
1 month. These are short-term liquidity management. Corporates are normally not doing long-term deposits. A CFO of a corporate doing long-term deposits should be fired.
Maybe one just comment. What Nils mentioned during the presentation that let's say we didn't want to have any deposit war, and having in mind that let's say we should expect rather rate cuts, we are a universal bank. We have the access to the corporate clients, and they are they have a lot of cash. So this is why we offer short-term
much less attractive than
term deposits for the retail customer. So what we are getting cheaper funding for the short-term period to have the
platform when the
retail customer, retail depositor will stabilize.
Anil will come back to the retail clients as soon as we feel that we are at the end or closer to the rate cut period. Then we will basically go and rebuild our positions because the self-financing model was and is and will be the model of operation for Alior. We believe that now going through the slides. One important comment: the concentration level among large corporate and corporate deposits is negligible. So it's not that one or two big deposits came and made up for our deposits in this area. We believe that at the beginning of 2015, when the cycle of rate cuts might be over, we will be able to go for the retail deposit, but not earlier than that.
Normally, banks collect some excess liquidity by the insurance because fourth quarter is very volatile in terms of deposits, especially corporate deposits. Don't you afraid that part of this corporate term deposits will go away from the bank at the end of this year and
not really.
We are managing our loan-to-deposit ratio very, very carefully, and this level of around 100 will be one of our targets. So when at the first sign that something is going wrong, that we are not able to manage our positions, we will react. Every week, actually, after the board meetings, we are looking at this position. So it will be managed very, very closely, and we will end up the year clearly. It is our goal to have the loan-to-deposit ratio between 98 and 102.
Correct.
On the deposit, you can still be waiting out that time on stabilization. So basically, how far would you go with the deposit ratio? How far would it, for example, if you would see at the end of the year, where would you go? And the second question was on the cost. You have started restructuring in the second quarter, I believe. When should we expect some results to show up in your statement?
So let me me answer this to first, the loan to deposit band that we are trying to achieve and we will achieve is between 98 to 102. We are not planning to go above 102 loan to deposit, and we are trying not to go below 98, which is extremely costly. So this is our goal. As far as the result of the cost-cutting effect, I think that you already see this cost-cutting effect now, and you will see them in the fourth quarter, because it worked like that. There's 250 people that were fired at the headquarters, unfortunately, partially because of the size of the area that allow us to automate some of the functions. We are big enough not to do it manually, but to automate it. Made space in our cost room to hire more people, and by hiring these new people, we are able to gain market share, especially in loan books. As an example, in the last quarter alone, we created and fully staffed 8 what we call the mortgage centers in Poland. There are more than 150 people work 3 shifts. This is the only one, only country in Poland to service the our mortgage intermediaries. In Poland, 80% of mortgage is being sold by intermediaries, real estate agents, developers, not necessarily banks. And we figure out it was kind of strange to direct the intermediaries to our high street branches that are open from 9 to 5, and we paid 50 euro per square meter. Instead, we asked the developers to come to the centers that are fully dedicated for them, open 24 hours, do the better jobs in processing and risk assessment, and this was 150 people. So all the cost rebalancing allows us to achieve only the growth of 0.6% quarter to quarter, and I think it will be similar for the fourth quarter of this year. Also, in terms of the number of people, I don't want to make the absolutely big story out of this, because it is not a big story, but you will find 85 people from Skok there.
Two questions on shares. The first one is 1.3 million shares the lockup expires in December this year.
Let me comment the sell of the my so-called this 1.3 million shares that are coming to the market, potentially coming to the market as the in December this year. This is not the same situation as we used to have in the past. So it's not more than it's 120 people that are eligible to drop the shares to the market that it used to be in 2012 and 2013. Now the number of potential sellers is limited to practically 3 people plus current board and the 2 and 3 board members from the past. So it's kind of no more than 10 people. What I can say that person within this group is myself, and I'm clearly stating what I said earlier, that there won't be any sale from my side on the 13th. Carlo Tassara International that we had to deal with is domiciled in Luxembourg, and today probably is not the best country to talk about, but is domiciled in Luxembourg, and we there might be an effort by some of the board, some of the members, to bring the stocks from Luxembourg to Poland, but it will be sell and buy transactions that you will not see at all. So what I'm trying to, what I'm saying from my side, not a single share from Sobiera will be on the market on the 30th, in December. And I say, when I'm talking to other board members, I think that the situation is very different, but it's somehow different. But I think the vast majority of this 1.3 million will not appear on the market. Part of this, I know what I'm talking about because these are my shares. And part of this is based on my discussions with the board members. And as far as the second question, which is the Meritum pricing?
The price is fixed, 360. And roughly half of the debt will be done through the shares. And the second half will be done, settled by cash, which we will get through subordinate issues.
There's clearly a situation where the will is not the same as May. We believe that the merger, building the market share for Alior with anyone, including the BPH, would make economic sense. So we would like to be part of this transaction. However, we don't have the means to do that. So it's beyond our reach. What is within our reach, without the strategic refocusing, is Meritum, and this is, I think, what we achieved. But I would like also to comment on your suggestion that Carlo Tassara has a difficulty in selling the package. I think we had a relatively three quarters of kind of do your job scenario, where our regulator told very openly that no traffic in our data rooms will be allowed until the potential buyers pass the AQR tests. AQR tests are gone, so now the game is open again. What I'm trying to say now is only theoretical, so don't quote me on that, but I think that this, if the bank grows and performs like us, I think I might imagine a situation that Carlo Tassara is not that fast and so pushed to rapid sale. If you ask me, if I were Carlo Tassara, I would wait. So, the Carlo Tassara had a lot of considerations to make, and it's their decisions, not ours, to make.
2016. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, still the deadline just fell. It's not like the deadline was dropped completely. No, not dropped completely. But I think this quarter we are coming with 69 million profit, which is corrected already by this unfortunate full beta 31. Hoping that, knowing what we know, that the results for this year, 315 to 350, will be met.
Thank you.
and knowing that the next year might be at least four times result of the third quarter this year, this economic calculation is probably is being taken by the seller also. But I want to clarify, it's not the mid of 2015, it's mid of 2016, is the deadline.
If you would like to ask a question over the telephone lines, please press star and one and wait for your name to be announced. To cancel that request, please press the hash key. It's star and one if you would like to ask a question today. As another reminder, that's star and one to ask a question. Our first of these questions comes from the line of Evan Bookmat from Barclays. The line is now open.
Hi, thank you very much. I have a small question, just maybe a follow-up on the last one we've discussed. There has been some press report that you may be interested in another small bank in Poland, FM Bank. I understand that you may not be able to comment on individual banks, although you're very welcome. But I just wanted to get some more kind of color from you on your general attitude to M&A. Would theoretically something in addition to Meritum be be a possibility? And similarly, would you need to then increase equity once again? So those type of placement that you're trying to do now.
It's Wojciech Sowiera. I believe that the main strategic development path for Alior is the organic growth. Acquisition of the portfolios, as was the case in the past with HSBC, is very welcome to kind of speed up our growth to this 4% market share. However, it is only on an opportunistic scenario, only on a come, assess, and do basis. It is not a part of our strategy that we are acquiring and grow through mergers and acquisitions. And it must also have a strategic fit, which in case of Meritum is, in our opinion, undeniable that they are acting in the same area as we do. With every quarter from our six-year-old existence, we were looking at a part of the portfolios, especially loan portfolios, to be taken. And I do not exclude these possibilities. However, the activities of Alior at the merger scene is limited, I guess. Meritum is the biggest and more strategically fit and most strategically fit institutions that I can think about. So, never say never, even in business. But I think it's not the path that we would like to follow.
Okay, thank you.
And our final question comes from the line of Rohit Nigram from JP Morgan. The line is now open.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Just two questions from my side. Apologies if they have been asked before. The phone line was not very clear. On the first question, just referring to your slide 8, wherein the two parts of this question, wherein you refer that the impact of NBP rate cuts is mitigated by a new fee structure. With respect to that, are you referring to a repricing done within the loan portfolio, or are you referring that you have offset that impact on margins by higher fees elsewhere on the portfolio? That's the first question. And the second question on margins is, assuming the rates stay at these levels for an extended period, 2-3 years, just wondering, where do you think your margins can go from the current levels if the current low rate environment holds for the next 2-3 years? That's the first question. And just a very quick clarification, second question. When you said that you can achieve the 100 million per quarter for next year as well, you were just referring to the underlying performance, right, excluding any impact from acquisitions or Meritum.
So on the last one, yes, that's true. That's without any impact from Meritum.
Okay.
Regarding the fee increases, we are mentioning here the fee increases to loan customers. We do not speak about other transaction fees. We do have some potential out there, but the actions taken to mitigate the impact from rate cuts in this context is purely on loan customers, both existing and new loan customers. The outlook for NIM, we have not given any guidance yet. We are working on a prolongation of our strategy, and we will come out and communicate when we have that ready. The drivers naturally will be functions of loan book composition, interest rate environment, funding, which we still believe will only come from customer deposits. But also a thing will be the fees we are implementing. Some of these will be booked as interest income because of the international financial reporting standards. If a fee is a very clear link with the loan product, it has to be booked as interest income over time. So that is also an element which will keep holding up the NIM going forward.
And the loan related fees which you mentioned now, it was some part of it reflected in the NII, or it was mostly reflected in fees?
In the NII.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
There are no more questions coming through on the telephone line.
Okay, if there are no further questions, then thank you very much for attending our fourth quarter 2014 presentation of our analysts and investors present in room and online. And we are inviting now all of the guests present for an informal part of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah.